妙教禅机啊，道根禅机是 teacher 啊、mentioned that 三禅 is 杂禅，杂禅 is 心境脱落 body and mind casting off or casting offbody and mind. Can you hear me? No? Nyojo Zenji, Dogen Zenji's teacher, mentions that Sanzen is Zazen. Zazen is casting offbody and mind. Body and mind testing off. this is the key point of our practice, of our meditation, Zen meditation we do. So today, I would like to say about this one. First of all,you should keep in mind that Zen Buddhism try to see or hear or understand the world and human life in terms of practice.Or, how can I say, action, or action is still a concept, so I would like to say the point of action which is constantly going, so flow action or flowing action activities. So Zen Buddhism, particularly Dogen Zenji, constantly mentions that we should see or hear, understand the human world in terms of the flow actions, flow practice, flow process.Process constantly under all circumstances, okay, not in terms of concept, not in terms of conceptualized world. The world you can see usually is already something conceptualized, okay. This is the world you live and you believeBut if we present the world something more than conceptualization, you are very confused because there is nothing to depend on. So usually everyone, okay, depends on consciously or unconsciously conceptualization of the world. That's it. This is your world.So, the Buddha and the ancestors tried to present the world before you conceptualize. That's why it is a little difficult to understand it. Okay. But we have to research it, we have to taste it, we have to understand it. Okay.Sanzen is Zazen. Sanzen means literally to surrender yourself to tranquility or simplicity in life. Okay. To surrender yourself or to submit to tranquility, perfect tranquility.Or simplicity in life. Okay, this is called Sun Zen. Usually, Sun Zen is translated as practice, but practice in English doesn't hit the mark. Choose Sun Zen. Okay. So, of Kanza Zen, you chant every evening. You uses the original term Sun Zen. Okay. So remember, Sun Zen is to surrender yourself to tranquility or simplicity in life. Simplicity is manifested only when your circumstances are very simple and neat, okay, clear. That's it. That time, that is great opportunity or great chance for us to manifest simplicity in life or tranquility in life. So it's very difficult to manifest simplicity, tranquility in a complicated world. But we live usually in a complicated world. That's why, how can we manifest, how can we find out simplicity in the complicated world? This is a little difficult point for us, okay? But we have to do it. That's why every day we try to practice, okay? You don't have any... you don't realize how great capability you have enough to become artist. But originally you have. But we don't know. That's why within the world you don't know, we have to build up the world you have already possessed. Okay? So that's why a little difficult for us. So, that's why Sun Zen is Zazen. So, in order to submit to tranquility or simplicity in life is to do Zazen. Simplicity, Zazen. Okay? So, I think mentions Zen Buddhism, try to see or hear, understand the world in terms of the flow process, flow activity, flow action, not in terms of conceptualization. Okay. Of course, conceptualization is important because we live already in the world conceptualized by you, okay? So blueprint conceptualization, the world of conceptualization is kind of a blueprint you can draw, okay? It's important for us, but through the blueprint you can imagine what the built house will be, and you can build up practically what kind of a house should be. Yeah? So blueprint is important. So you can imagine, you can be a person who can build. Okay, you can be carpenter. You can be the person who look at, who imagine objectively what kind of house will be. Okay? But through the blueprint, blueprint is blueprint, so you cannot live there. Okay? Is that clear? So the end conceptualization of the world, in the world of conceptualization, I think people become, onlooker, Look. Mm-hmm. Or carpenter, you become onlooker, or you become carpenter. Carpenter means you participate in building up house, directory. Okay. Is that clear? The difference between onlooker and also carpenter. Onlooker means I am not carpenter. So I can look at the blueprint. Through the blueprint, I can imagine what kind of house will be. But sometimes, not sometimes, always, I don't understand what kind of house will be through the blueprint. But I have a right to look at the blueprint, concentrate with hope and desires. Okay. So always looking at and thinking and imagining, etc. On the other hand, there are people who can be the carpenter. Okay? So carpenter knows pretty well what kind of house will be. But even though you become the onlooker or carpenter, you never have a chance to live in that house. Okay? If you live in that house, what the world of conceptualization is not perfect. Blueprint is not perfect. You will realize many things, something wrong. Is that clear? I'm not criticizing a carpenter or blueprint. I'm talking about the usual world of conceptualization you always enjoy very much, you always live. Okay? So, naturally, the world of conceptualization we live in is not perfect. But it is important for us. Because with our blueprint, we cannot live. Okay? But the point is, you have to see the house in terms of practical point of view. In other words, in terms of the person who tastes the house through his life, every day. Okay? So there is a very close, deep communication with a house and a person. Okay? So even though you believe blueprint is perfect, well, if you live, actually, there are many things you will find. Good point, a weak point, many things. Sometimes nothing to say. Okay? So, I think another example is relationship between a piece of paper and fire. If you burn the paper, probably you may say paper is something separated from the fire in terms of the world of conceptualization. It's very clear you can separate, you can see the something, you can see the existence of the paper and separated from the fire. Fire separate from the paper in terms of the world of conceptualization. Is that clear? But actually, what do you mean by the burning the paper? Okay. In terms of active understanding, active penetration, flow practice, between flow activity, flow process, between fire and paper. Okay? In other words, in terms of true reality of a fire and paper, can't you separate? You can't separate because paper is fire. fire is paper. But if I use a term, word, I say paper is fire. Fire is paper. It's already dualistic. For instance, I mentioned always, Karagiri die. You know, what do you mean? I cannot explain the real true reality of the death of Karagiri using the word sentence, because subject Karagiri, who exists now? Because you acknowledge the presence of Karagiri as a subject, then I say Karagiri and next die. What do you mean? Here is a Karagiri who present, okay, as a subject. And then next verb. You have to explain who Karagiri is. Is that okay? So very naturally there is dualistic. And then Karagiri die, disappear. In order to understand to disappear, you have to know, you have to have a preconceptions. Preconception or preconception of the presence of Karagiri in the sentence. So it's very dualistic. So it's very difficult to understand true reality of death. Same applies to the fire, burning the paper. So in terms of true reality of the paper and fire, you cannot separate. So paper is fire simultaneously, no gap between. But it's very difficult to understand it. Very difficult, because we get used of seeing and hearing, understanding the world in terms of the world of conceptualization always. That's why no matter how long, constantly we mention about that point, we don't see it. We don't see it. But we have to understand it, okay? And there is stories about of Gassan Zenji, who was a disciple of Keizan Zen Master, the fourth patriarch from Dogen Zenji. He mentioned to Gassan Zenji, one day he said, "Do you know there are two moons?" The Gassan Zenji says, "No, I don't understand. There are two moons." And then in the history, I think Gassan Zenji spent for 3 years to constantly contemplate about this message. Okay. The 3 years for him is really many, many years for us. Okay. Because his practice was really serious and with a full concentration, using the anyway for 3 years perfectly. So 3 years for him is exactly something more than 5 years for us, 10 years. So 3 years means many, many years, okay? Do you know that there are two moons means, okay? If you see the moon in the sky, you say the moon is one, okay? That is your understanding. But that is really the unseeing, hearing, the understand the moon in terms of the world of conceptualization. Because in the conceptualization, you always bring up you first. I see the moon, okay? So always separations. So you cannot see the true reality between you and the moon who are merged. interfused completely. So, at that time, who is the moon? Moon is I. Moon is I am moon. You cannot see it. Exactly like the relationship between the fire and the paper. We always see the paper and fire in terms of the world of conceptualizations. So even though fire, paper is fire, fire is paper, you don't believe it. But it is true. Because in the world of the truth, something happens always, something is going. This is the cold true reality where you live in. You beyond you like or dislike, something is going constantly. Don't you think so? You hate yourself, you like yourself, it doesn't matter. Actually, your life is going. Your life is going something beyond human criticism. Okay? Your life is going, your life is growing anyway. Your life is supported by something else, something. So I think that's why the Kaizen Zen Master told Gassen Zenji, do you know there are two moons? Two moons means if I see the moon, Karakiri is a moon. But in terms of the world of conceptualization, we believe always moon is one. Okay? Yes, it is. But that moon is not real moon. That moon is the moon seen from the world of conceptualizations. Because you always bring up you first, and then you see the moon. Okay? So no chance, no opportunity where moon and you are interfused wondrously beyond your conceptualization, your speculation. True reality is something wondrous. You don't know. Inconceivable. Where moon and you are interchanged, okay? And create something. This is the true reality you live in. This is your life. Okay? So that's why Gassen Zenji says in that way, and then Gassen Zenji says, if you don't understand, you are not my successor. Okay? So Gassen Zenji take it very seriously. If he has ambition or desire to be his successors. So he take it very seriously and contemplate it, you know, for many, many years. Or another story in the Book of Equanimity, Ungan, story of Ungan and Dogo. Ungan Zenji swept the ground, and Dogo Zenji says, "You are hard at you work hard." Is that clear? Mm-hmm. But then now, Ungan Zenji said, Ungan is a little older than Dogo Zenji. They are relation of the Dharma brother. Okay. And the Ungan says, there is a one who isn't work hard at it. And then the Dogo says, if so, you are talking about the second moon. Second moon means dualistic world, okay? Dualistic world means because I am working hard. That is the reality what Dogo Zenji saw it, okay? And then the Ungan says, no, you should see the something else. Who is not work hard at it? If so, Dogo Zenji, the Ungan Zenji, talking about something more than hard work. Okay? So, pretty dualistic. In other words, paper and fire. Alright? Paper and fire. Dogo mentions about paper, okay? And then the Ungan then says, oh yes, you can see the paper, but you should see the something else, so called fire. Okay? And then the Dogo then says, if so, fire is a second moon, means something different from the paper. And then Ungan Zenji immediately held up in the bloom and then says, what is the moon? What kind of moon is it? Okay. He held up the bloom means you should see the true reality where fire and paper burning from moment to moment, so-called floor burning, okay, floor burning, flowing burning before you poke your head into it. If you put your hand over the fire, your hand, you say immediately, ouch, okay? Now, ouch is something reality, real, something real, okay? In the something real, I think you can see the hands which is identical with the fire. Fire is your hand, otherwise you cannot say, ouch. But anyway, so Ungan Zenji shows true reality where paper and fire are merged, okay, and interfused simultaneously beyond your speculations. Can't you say it is fire or it is paper? No. Paper and fire become one, interfused. This is the true reality. Then, that's why Ungan held up the bloom immediately and said, what kind of moon is it? If you look at the Karagiri, Karagiri is here and Zen Center is here. Okay? Karagiri, work hard at it, aren't you? But there is nothing else to say beyond hard work or not hard work, because I am only Zen Center, so I am Zen Center, so I have to do it beyond hard work or not hard work. As long as the Zen Center exists in this world, well, I cannot stop living anyway. So I have to live. So, I must see or hear or understand Karagiri through the true reality of true reality between Karagiri and Zen Center, which are merging, interfused completely. So, what is the Karagiri? Karagiri is just flow activities. So there is nothing to name on it. At that time, within that flow activity, flow practice, sometimes you can see the result named Karagiri, sometimes you can put the name on it, so-called Zen Center. So that Zen Center or Karagiri is just like a flashing light. So you can see the flashing light, Karagiri. And then I am very involved in that name of Karagiri and then stumbling over. I'm grumbling always. That is human problem is going. Okay? But anyway, even though I can see the lots of the flashing light, but point is, I have to go back to that real reality, true reality, and constantly I have to live and pass by as soon as possible, you know, that flashing light. So that is a meaning of, okay, meaning of that koan. But here is another, here is the interesting the sutra, Avalokiteshvara's in the Saddhama Pundarika Sutra. Right in the beginning, first in the first paragraph. I think Saddhama Pundarika mentions about the reason why Avalokiteshvara is named as Avalokiteshvara, as compassion. Okay, Avalokiteshvara means to see the world. Okay, to see the world and to be seen the world, by the world. Avalokiteshvara, the compassion, as a compassion, see the world, and then world see the Avalokiteshvara. Okay? So if I see with a compassion, you, all of you, you already see me as a compassion, because you are already seen by compassion. So because I see you with compassion, so you see me with compassion, just like paper and fire. So Avalokiteshvara means to see the world, and the world a world to see the Avalokiteshvara. In other words, to see the world, to be seen by the world. This is the meaning of Avalokiteshvara. Okay? So true reality, communications there between the world and the human beings. And then at that time, there is nothing to separate or what would you say? Separate or analyze. Separate, okay? Like a paper and fire. So there is a oneness. There is a oneness which is called compassion. Okay. Compassion. So world, the something true reality which is going on between the world and Avalokiteshvara is pretty compassionate. It's very compassionate. To support, to help, to sustain, to uphold, according to general Buddhism, it is called Dharma. Okay? Dharma. So, meaning of the Dharma is to support. Something supporting, upheld. Okay? This is called Dharma, or the truth. So, in the first paragraph, the Lotus Sutra mentions the reason why Avalokiteshvara is named as Avalokiteshvara. And then the infinite mind bodhisattva asks Shakyamuni Buddha about the reason why he is called Avalokiteshvara. Okay? Infinite thought, the infinite mind, bodhisattva ask Buddha. This is very interesting point, you know, because not usual person ask Buddhas. Only infinite, something infinite, okay? Ask Buddha. So you cannot ask, you cannot know, you cannot talk about Avalokiteshvara or true reality if you are a person or being who lives in the usual, the world of conceptualization. You don't see Avalokiteshvara. So you must be infinite thought, you must be infinite bodhisattvas. Okay? So that's why, first of all, the Lotus Sutra bring up a person named Infinite Thought Bodhisattva. Ask about the reason why. And then Lotus Sutra mentions, there are myriad beings who suffer troubles. With the full mind, with a wholehearted mind, if they see or hear the name of Avalokiteshvara, they called upon him with wholehearted, effort. And that time Avalokiteshvara save you from many kinds of trouble simultaneously. Okay? This story reminds me of the meaning of Zazen and also body and mind twisting off. If you sit down, that is body casting of the body, body and mind, dropping of body and mind, free from body and mind. Okay. If you burn the paper is simultaneously fire. But in terms of conceptualization, you don't understand it. But actually, paper becomes fire simultaneously. Okay. So if you sit down, immediately your body and mind is casted off. But we don't believe it. But it is true. Actually true. Totally true. Okay? So, let me read that passage, okay? The Buddha answered that about Bodhisattva Infinite Thought, good son, if there be countless, hundreds, thousands, million, cotis of living beings suffering from pain and distress who hear of this Bodhisattva regardless of the cries of the world and with all their mind call upon his name, the Bodhisattva regarder of the cries of the world will instantly regard their cries, and all of them will be delivered. We don't believe it. If you believe it, you try, okay? Call upon the Bodhisattva's name, and they immediately suffering, still suffering with you, so you don't believe it. And then you say, oh, sutra, tell a lie. But because you always see the world in terms of the world of conceptualization, you never know. But it is true. There is no other way to be delivered, free from human suffering. So, there is, if you see, if many beings see the name of Avalokiteshvara means, if you see the world very deeply, then you can hear the sound, very deep sound. You don't know what kind of sound there. Because you cannot say it is a good sound, it is a bad sound, you cannot say. It is something pensive. Oh yes, sometimes pensive, but if you feel pensive, immediate next moment it's not pensive. Something more than pensive. So if you experience something putting on the name, putting the name on it, and then say pencil. But immediately, the moment when you name it, you can return to the source, and then you don't know what it is. Pencil disappears. And then something more than pencil. And then next moment, it's not pencil. You put the name on it, it's not pencil. And then immediately, well, something more than not pencil. So you don't know. Finally, you are always going back to the point. You are always going back to the point, and then where, you don't know. So when you see the world very deeply, you don't know, how can I say? There is some sound, something there. And also that sound of the word is something you are always looking for. And then you are looking, that is something you are looking for, that's why you want to get it. But you cannot get it actually through your experience. So finally, that is suffering. Very direct cause of suffering. So finally you say, please. Don't you think so? Please. How can I call? How can I call upon? You say, please. Please make me simple. Please make me free. Whatever you say. That's call upon something toward the sky, saying, please. The moment when you say so, it is called Avalokiteshvara. Okay? There is a subject you are calling upon, and then there is an object you are calling upon. No object. Because the subject you are, who is calling upon, something is simultaneously something you are looking for. Because it's pretty deep. So if you look upon and call upon immediately, that is Avalokiteshvara. That is the reason. We call it Avalokiteshvara. Okay? So when you sit down, you don't know why you sit down in Zazen. Well, if you think it, many reasons coming up. But any answers, any reasons, don't hit the mark exactly. But it is, you cannot ignore those reasons you have mentioned. Because it is a part of truth, but not totally. So totally, what do you want? Totally, what you want is just to be present exactly right in the middle of true reality, where you and Zazen exactly merging. Nothing else. So to sit is to call upon something. So to sit and to sit something exactly, something you call upon. So where you sit? You exactly sit right in the middle of something you are always looking for and calling upon. We don't know what it is, but it's always there. You can see through the looking at the, through the seeing the world very deeply. So that's why if you sit down exactly, I think you feel something. You taste it. Because if you sit down, this by virtue of seeing deeply human world, hearing the sound of the world, immediately you manifest yourself with wholeheartedness. So that is called, here says, with all their mind. With all their mind. We call 一心, one mind. Exactly with a one mind. So, whoever you are, whatever reason you have, and you come here and sit down, immediately you can sit with all your mind, wholeheartedness, even for a moment. That's pretty good. Anyway, true reality, where all minds are interfused. Okay. So, very naturally, all you can do is constantly, you have to return to the source of the Zazen, which means based on testing of the body and the mind. This is the point we are always seeking for. This is called faith. Okay? This is called faith. And philosophically, this is called emptiness. In the beginning, emptiness is emptiness can be seen just like a flashing light. Lightning thunder, pretty quickly, you know. So it makes you excited very much. But if you penetrate gradually, again and again, it goes very slowly in your mind, in your life. Okay? And you can see wherever you may go, emptiness you can see always. That's pretty hard. Because it's sneaking in, invading your life, kind of invading. Have you ever experienced? If you see, in the beginning, that's why I mentioned, if you start to do Zazen, you feel wonderful because lots of excitement there. Because you can see the lightning thunders, which you have never experienced. Wonderful. Then when you go in gradually deeply into the Zen practice, finally you are very confused. Because something sneaking in, invading you, very slowly, kind of, squeezing your neck with a cotton. Squeezing your neck with jellyfish. You don't notice it. You don't notice it, but actually it's really something, you know, suffocated to death. So you say, finally, please. Okay? So that is very difficult. But you have to go through. If you go through and in the middle of Zen Buddhism, and then you can see many things and also something sneaking in, invading your life, that's pretty hard to stay with it. But if you go through it, that something sneaking into your life turn into the effort, great energies. Okay? Believe me. If you don't believe me, please believe for Buddha. It's exactly great energies. Because energy is just like that. Energy is coming up. That's why energy is. Energy or human effort is just like a spring water coming from the ground. Okay? Because true reality is structured by the emptiness. Structure of the world is kind of, the blueprint. No, you have to anyway live in the structure of the world. Okay, that time that is called true reality. That time you don't know what's going on there, but you have to be there. And also you have to be there because you are looking for that point. That's why you sit down. Okay? So, Usually we are always involved in intellectual understanding, always. That is important, blueprint, as a blueprint, it is important, but it's very difficult to taste true reality, which is going on as a flow activity, flow process of life. So that's why practice is very important. Zazen is really essence of our practice, basic essence, basic practice for us. That's why Zazen is very important for us. Alright, that is called Zazen is casting off or dropping off the body and the mind. Body and the mind is, and the dropping of body and the mind is Zazen, okay? Is there a question?
Roshi?
Right.
In the beginning, you talked about Sanzen and Zazen. Linguistically, is San a different etymological meaning than Za? Za is the Chinese root, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And San is what?
San is to surrender. Or
first meaning.
Yeah. Yes. San of San Zen is to surrender or submit. Okay. Or to visit, actually. To visit, okay? You can visit objectively. If you want to visit, you have your body and mind must be there. That is called surrender. You have to surrender yourself too, otherwise you cannot visit. Okay? So that is a san. Zen is a zen. Linguistically, that is to manifest simplicity. So that's why to submit yourself to the simplicity or tranquility. That is a sanzen. What is it? This is zazen. Okay. So to submit yourself to simplicity is simultaneously to casting off, dropping off your body and mind. In other words, free from, you know, many, many suffering. But we don't believe it. Okay? But this is true. If you don't understand, remember the example, the flow energy between the paper and fire. Okay? Flow energy. Flow activities between. Right in the middle of flow activity of the paper and fire, is there something you can separate, you can analyze? No. This is Zazen, we do. So-called shikan, wholeheartedness. Okay. Any other question?
If we drop off body and mind, where do they go? If we drop off body and mind, where do they go?
Nowhere. Nowhere. Just be there. Do you understand? After dropping dropping of body and mind is, where is the dropping of the body and the mind? It is a somewhere separate from you, outside from you, or inside of you, or between. Where is it? There is no particular things objectively you can see, or there is no particular things seen objectively as subjective. Okay? While you can see that something subjective or objective, that is world of conceptualization, you can see. But you don't believe actually, but if you really devote yourself as a practice, you do it. It just like you, if you don't believe, I always mention that the book, Flow Experience, you know, the rock climbers, mount climbers, you know, football players. Look at those people who exactly participating in the practice action itself. With dropping of the body and the mind. Your body and the mind is really flexible. There is no frame of your body and the mind right in the middle of. Flow practice of playing a football. No. If you see even slightly, you will be hurt. You cannot play the football. Okay? So you don't see yourself particularly as a subject, you don't see something objective, so-called ball. No, you cannot see. But there is a something, ball and you communicate totally right in the middle of raw practice of playing football. Okay? Without this, you cannot see any development, any progress. If you see the progress, and then where we are heading for? Nowhere. All you have to do is just, you have to be right in the middle of flow process, flow progress. That's it. Every moment you have to do it. No other place. Any other question?
No. Where is she? Why do we conceptualize?
Because you have a consciousness. Because your consciousness is vibrated. Okay.
Okay.
If your vibration of your consciousness means to separate. Okay. Vibration of a consciousness means to know something. To know something is to dichotomize.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Is there something about the process of conceptualization that is necessary?
Yeah, a process there. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. The procedure. How to conceptualize. Well, you can practice and you can study psychology and... Well, philosophies and they always gives you the how the, your consciousness, you know, think, conceptualize, you know, the world.
Yeah, that wasn't really my question, though. I was wondering if there was something about the process of conceptualization that was necessary or important to being able to be in the flow process.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's why you have to see depth of conceptualization. What is the root of conceptualization you built up? We have to see. That's why Avalokiteshvara has to see the deeply the world. Okay?
Deeply the word?
The world.
The world.
And then you can hear the sound. That is the root of the conceptualization.
Okay.
Most of them, in other words, experientially, I think that through the conceptualization of the world, you know, mm-hmm. the people were suffocated to death and choked. It's not pain. It's not a prettier. But it is not unprettier. It is not prettier. Something. But we are shocked. Then finally we say, please.
Too much of a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we want to get it.
You describe practice as calling on Avalokiteshvara. You describe Sanzen, Zazen, or practice as calling on Avalokiteshvara.
No, that is, if you see Zazen, if you see the meaning, if you see the meaning of Zazen, meaning of quality of Zazen, very naturally there is Avalokiteshvara coming up. So quality of a Zazen is pretty rich. There is a compassion, and also looking at yourself very deeply, looking at the world very deeply, many things there. That's why I mentioned the Bharatishvara. It's not something different.
So my question is, in other schools, they have a practice of calling on Avalokiteshvara or Nembutsu.
Mm-hmm.
But we say that's not necessary.
Well, we can say it's not necessary. We can say it's not necessary, but we can say it's necessary.
Why don't we do it?
That's where we sit. Sit is, sit is a front gate, okay? There is always front gate. But around the house, there are many gates to get in from the side, from the back door, just like this, and you have to go in from the back side, you know? But it's still front gate there. And also side gate there, you know, outside porch, you know? You can get in. Or you can get in from the window. Or you can get in from the upstairs, climbing that out porch, you know? So there are many ways to get in, but there is a front gate anyway. So front gate is very simple practice, simple. That's it. So, then if you see, simple means, I think the Nembutsu, okay? Nembutsu, you say that is a side gate. I'm not criticizing side gate, okay? Back gate, back side, or the side, it doesn't matter. But if you see gate, the side gate, okay, so-called Nembutsu. What is the point, a real point of Nembutsu? What you should do? You should always see Amitabha, beautiful face of Amitabha, you know, the light going with the lightning giving forth, and painted with the gold. Or Amitabha is always helping me, or imagining Amitabha's world, paradise. Whatever you can see, imagine, it is a blueprint of Amitabha. What you have to do, and you have built the Amitabha, okay? So you can be the carpenter, so-called, building up Amitabha's world. That is Gokuraka, paradise. But finally, what you have to do is to live there. What do you mean? Just Nembutsu. So, right in the middle of your reality, between the Nembutsu and you, there is nothing to name on it, so-called name of Amitabha, so-called prayer, so-called person who pray. No. So what is it? That is simple. Simplicity in life. Manifesting simplicity in life. This is Koshikan. So finally, you can go back to the source. zazen. That's it. It's okay.
No.
No.
What? Why only offer the front gate?
Huh?
If there's nothing wrong with other gates, and they, why only offer the front gate?
No, nothing wrong, nothing right. Nothing wrong, nothing right. But anything, all things come back to that source, that's it. That source is temporarily called front gate, because people don't understand it. That source is really vast. Just like the children's clay, theater and rock and paper. But actually, children's play is whatever. It's no name of a theater, no name of a paper, no name of a rock. That is a true reality of the world. Nothing to name. But if there is nothing, it's very difficult for children to play. So temporarily, let's name on it. So called paper, so called silver, so called rock. And then we enjoy. So we name on it front gate, side gate, back gate. And then we play, we enjoy very much. And then finally we forget front gate. If you play with back gate. Okay?
So I don't understand the last thing you said.
Well, if you always enjoying with front the back doors, okay? We completely forget front gate. But never mind. Any other question?
Is it a problem to forget the front gate?
Well, actually, you cannot forget it because you are already standing in the front gate. So, regardless of whether you forget or not, more sooner or later you will go back to the front gate. But I don't think you should take long time to go back to the front gate. As soon as possible, the sooner the better. Because life is not so long. Do you understand? On the other hand, life is so long.
Especially when you're sitting.
So I'm not talking about wrong or good, okay? That is the front gate.
Would you repeat what you said when you said it begins to take over your life, it creeps into your life, and you feel like it's choking you, but when you go through, would you say that again?
Choking.
Oh, the squid.
Squeeze.
Yeah.
Well, that is, how can I say? Well, if you see the world very deeply, I think you can see that something more than the world usual people have understood. Okay? And then, whatever it is, we don't understand yet what it is. But if you see something deeply, it is a kind of beautiful peak of the mountains, okay? Far from us. But spiritually, we don't see the particular peak. But if you see the mountain, you can see the beautiful peak. And then everyone look at that. If you see that beautiful peak, you really want to climb and reach it. But spiritually, if you see it, we don't know what it is, but it is something like a beautiful peak. And then we try to climb. Okay? So that climb, if you, the more you climb, the more you feel the peak is far from us. Okay? But practically speaking, the peak is very close to you. That's where you see the peak and try to climb the ridge. Do you understand? But the more you climb, the more you try to reach that peak, the more peak seems to be far from you. But actually not far from you, it's very close to you. Because that's why you want to climb. Is that clear? So, there are lots of, a little bit complicated situation, contradictory. You feel very close, practice, you taste it. What is the depth of human world? What is the sound of the world? That is a beautiful peak. It's very close with you. That's why you want to get it. The more you try to get it, the more that peak is far from us. Then, finally, we don't know what to do. Then we completely lose our sight. Then people confused. That at that time, I say, more or less, it is called very basic human suffering. I want to get it, but because it's very close to me. But the more you try to do it practically, it seems to be far from us. That's why there is always some very basic human suffering. That suffering is called to squeeze your neck with a jellyfish, kind of like that. It's not comfortable, but it's not uncomfortable. Something there.
And you said when you go through that, you reach the energy?
Yes. If you go through that, you can become great laughter. That's why if you read the Zen stories, Yaksan Zen master laughed one night, and then world of 40 square miles, whole world is shake, it seems to be ridiculous, but this is trying to explain how great laughter is. Okay? Laughter means you can really taste that point. So that's why human suffering, basic human suffering, suffering means unsatisfactoriness. Always there is unsatisfactoriness. That is not something wrong, but not something comfortable. But it is totally true. That's where true, noble truth we say.